My name's Marie, I'm an addict. New way of life. This has got to be one of my favorite topics I think I've ever gotten. It's pretty awesome. But I have to tell you, when I got here, I had no desire for a new way of life. I had no desire to be, when people would say happy, joyous, and free, I'd think F you. When they would say, I want to be a responsible, productive member of society, like it talks about in our literature, I was like, are you kidding me? That was not what I came here for. I didn't come here to learn spiritual principles. I didn't learn here to, I didn't get here to do anything other than stop being in pain. I was in such emotional, spiritual, mental anguish and pain, and I hated myself, and I did not want to get up every day. I was resentful. I had a resentment with God, who I came in with a God, but I was pretty resentful because I kept waking up. And my four-year-old daughter said to me one day, Mommy, are you going to stop crying today? That hurts. So I got way more than I ever expected or thought existed or even knew I wanted. Because today, I am happy to tell you that I am happy, joyous, and free, and I am one of those responsible, productive members of society. I really am. But that whole new way of life thing, I had no clue. You know, they talk about Pandora's box, and you open it, and you get all these crazy things happen. Well, for me, I had no idea what recovery was going to bring me. So at the very beginning, what it gave me was community. It gave me other people who had thoughts just as sick and twisted as I did, who, understood the stuff that happened here. Because the enemy is here. The enemy isn't the people at my job or the people in my family or my children. The enemy is right here between my two ears. And so I got this place where they said, they gave me the basics, and the basics have never changed. I've been coming around a long time, and they have never changed. They told me to go to meetings. I didn't ask why. I didn't ask for an essay, help me understand. I didn't suffer from that. I suffered from I know but syndrome when I got here, but I didn't suffer from the why. I wasn't like a two-year-old telling me why it works. I just believed people when they said it worked. So they told me to go to meetings, get a sponsor, get a home group, get a God of my understanding, and be of service to someone else other than me. And those things have served me quite well in ways that I never expected. I was introduced to that community, and then I was introduced to hope. I was introduced to the idea that I never had to use again. Our literature says it very clearly. I never have to use again. And it was something I couldn't conceive of. And I struggled with alcohol as a drug. I didn't struggle with the fact that I was an alcoholic. I knew that, right? And I knew I was probably an addict. But what I struggled with was oh my God, I can never have another drink or drug again. And they introduced me to that little thing called Just for Today. Just for Today. I'm not going to do that. And the Just for Today has applied in many different ways as I've progressed through recovery. Just for today, I'm not going to go to the Fractured Prune and get 3 donuts. Because I really want them. But I'll pay for it. I know I'll pay for it. So, it's amazing how the simplicity of this program applies in every area of my life. Every single area. So I get introduced to hope, the idea that I don't have to use again. And I get introduced to community. And then I get introduced to the fact that I'm going to have to be vulnerable and real and honest with another human being. That means that I'm not going to show up being, the guys call it Tony Tough Guy, right, or Tony Tough Girl or whatever, because I had this facade when I got here. I am a big marshmallow. Today, I'm soft and my feelings get hurt. But when I got here, it didn't look like that at all. My ex-husband referred to me as a 5-foot-tall blonde pit bull. Because my goal was to hurt you before you hurt me. Because I was so soft, really. And I couldn't ever show that. So I got introduced to vulnerability, right, in this new way of life. And I was just going to learn who I am. That has been a heck of a journey, and I am still trying to figure that out. I did finally, this year, figure out what I want to be when I grow up. You know what that is? I want to be retired. I'm so excited about that. I'm serious, too. I want to be retired. So what I need to do now is figure out how do I get from point A to point Z, because there's some steps in there. And I've learned how to set goals. The only goal I ever had was to roll enough change to get a six-pack when I got here. And then hope that it was not a decision where I had to make it. Do I buy milk for the kids or a six-pack, or milk for the kids or some of this or some of that? And I have had a completely different way of life delivered to me, to my doorstep, with a little bit of work. So I got introduced to steps in this new way of life. And the steps are interesting. That's the cleaned up version of what just happened in my head. I have a delay button today. It's awesome. I have a delay button because I want to tell you they're an MF-er, but they're really awesome. But let me back up. Before I could really get down with the steps, before I could really get down with looking at the ugly, the gunk in my soul that I had been carrying around and I felt guilt and shame for, that stuff I was carrying around like luggage, before I could really look at that and say, and own it, yep, I did that, yep, I did that, that's the sick stuff I think, I had to get with a higher power for me. Because I had to believe that something could love me anyway. Because I believed in a God when I got here, but what I didn't believe is that I was loved unconditionally. I never even heard those words, unconditional love, or will love you till you can learn to love yourself. And again, I got here, I was like, that is some hokey stuff. Seriously? But the truth is, people did. People loved me when I went to meetings and my skirt was way too short and I was showing way too much cleavage, and people loved me anyway. And people loved me when I cussed like a sailor or when I didn't say anything. And when I made really bad decisions in recovery so that the whole NA community could see, people loved me anyway. And I got with a God of my understanding. And what that's come for me over time, that has evolved, just like everything else in my recovery. And so at the very beginning, what that looked like, that new way of life and that connection and that relationship with the God of my understanding, it looked like please and thank you. Please help me stay clean today. Thank you for helping me stay clean today. Please help me keep... Then it evolved, right? Please help me keep my mouth shut. Let me think about what I'm going to say before I say it. Is it kind? Is it necessary? And it helped me to understand that just because I think it doesn't mean it needs to be said. And just because I think it right now, I might not think it 2 minutes from now. Because I have the ability to evolve as a human being and make different choices every step of the way. So I was delivered to the step work. And the step work helped me understand the reason. And I'm not the why girl, right? But what it did is it helped me look at the exact nature of my life as it is today, or as it was then. And so the exact nature, at the very beginning, the thing that I got was cash register honesty. Ooh. I remember. I'm telling you, I remember the first day somebody handed me $20 worth of change and I gave them a 10 and I gave them the change back. I floated out of that store, but I wanted everybody to pat me on the back. Good girl. You gave the money back. Because I felt entitled in general as an addict. And then I understood that really that's what most people do is they give the shit back.
Okay.
And then it became, I don't steal supplies from work. Somebody said to me the other day, I went out and bought I'm getting ready to move, and I bought a one of those big fat markers to mark the boxes up so I know where to unpack them. And they were like, I could have got you one on the government. I'm like, no. Then I have to put them on my eighth step. Then I got to make amends. It's just easier to like not do it today. But I didn't come in here looking for that. Absolutely not. I came in here looking to be relieved from the obsession of my daily life that revolved around doing anything to take me out of me. Anything. And I've suffered from that obsession in clean time, right? I didn't come here and get, you know, the angels didn't sing and the choirs go, ah. And I was delivered from my nonsense here. What happened was I continued to work those steps, right? And I continued to look at stuff. And every time I would go through the steps, I look a little deeper. And they talk about the onions, you know, the layers of an onion and peeling back. And it was really true. Like a lot of those cliches that when I got here, I was like, what are these people talking about? I get today. And if I don't get something that somebody shares, I'll ask. Or I'll look it up in the literature. So if I share something or anyone else shares something that sounds like, huh? Question mark? Look it up. Read the literature, because the literature won't steer you wrong. We have amazing literature. And the Living Clean book, if you haven't read it, I know I sound like a salesperson, right? Awesome book. Awesome. So I have a question. That's not for me now, right? Okay. I saw the attention 5 minutes. I'm like, that was quick. Just making sure. I try to do what I'm told today. That's new. So I came in here with an absolute resentment of authority. I really, but I did it. I'd smile, and then I'd do what I wanted to do anyway, because I'm a really good liar. So like when I got here, a lot of people didn't even know I was an addict. Because I'm sweet, aren't I? No, because I'm a really good liar. And so I've learned I don't lie today. Very rarely do I lie, and usually if I do, it's to myself. And it takes me a second to recognize that I'm deceiving myself and that what is really going on isn't what I think is really going on. So I got introduced through the steps to the exact nature of my wrongs. The exact nature. That changed my life in a way that I don't think anything other than just putting the drugs down and having a God of my understanding has. Because what that means is that at any given moment, I can dial down into the exact nature. And if I know the exact nature of why I feel the way I feel or behave the way I behave, then I can actually address the solution. I can live in the solution by understanding my exact nature. And so if my example is that I'm getting ready to move. I didn't choose to move. We live in a basement apartment. I love it. It's easy. It's simple. It takes us an hour to clean it top to bottom. I know in society you're supposed to have the house and the cars. And I could care less about that. What I want is the trips to Rio de Janeiro for the World Convention. Those are the things I want. I don't want stuff. I don't really care about my clothes or my jewelry, but I want to travel. And so it's afforded us the opportunity to do that and to be generous to other people. Because the money isn't tight and I'm not house poor. So what really is happening is the people who own the basement apartment, their daughter wants to move in, and so they said, you got to go. So it kicked up a whole bunch of fear for me. What's the fear? The fear is that I went my whole adult life raising 3 children on pennies and never knowing how I was going to make bills. Is that reality? So that's the next step. What's the real deal? Is that real? Can I make enough money to pay my bills? Absolutely. Might I have to change my spending behavior? Yeah. And that's okay. I'm a big girl. I can do that today. But even under that, so that was just the top layer, right? So then you go dig a little further. And what I understand for me today that I just figured out a couple days ago, and this has been like a month-long getting ready to process, is that we were asked to leave, and I felt angry. The first level is angry, right? For me, almost always, the first level is angry. But then the next layer is I actually felt embarrassed, like I had outworn my welcome, like I've not been asked to leave anywhere in recovery. It was the first time I was asked to leave. And I thought, oh, I'm embarrassed. Okay. And then I can check the facts. Is that the truth? did they ask me to leave because I was bad tenant, or because they don't like me anymore, or is there any validity in feeling embarrassed about it? No. So, okay, so I've done the fact checking, I've done the exact nature checking, and so now what I can do is ask God to remove it. Take it from me. Because left to my own devices and the stuff that happens in between these two ears, I will alienate myself, I will develop resentments, I will feed the anger, and I will be caught in that triangle of self-obsession. Fear, anger, resentment. Easy. And then it spirals. And then it's fear, anger, and resentment. And it just gets bigger. And so by having the ability today to look at the exact nature and to ask the God of my understanding to help me with it is amazing. It's a gift I couldn't have even imagined when I got here. When I got here, I just wanted to stop crying. I just wanted to stop hurting. I didn't even think about the fact that I needed to stop hurting other people. I didn't really think about how I needed to be a better daughter or a better mother. Well, I did think about that one. That's actually the trigger that got me clean, was I wanted to be a better mom. But I didn't think about being a better daughter or a better wife. Oh my gosh. I'm on my second marriage, my last marriage, and I tell you what, he's been the lucky recipient of a lot of painfully learned knowledge about what a poor wife I was the first time around. Because I spent the first 7 years of my recovery in that marriage pointing the finger at him and not really looking at how I could be a better wife. So the new way of life has changed a lot. At the beginning, it was just, I don't want to use drugs today, right? I don't want to, and then it was, I don't want to steal today. And, you know, and then it was, I don't want to, there's a whole slew I don't want to, filtering. So, it's funny, I love this convention. It's the first convention I ever chaired a meeting at, and this is how my life has changed over the years. The reason I chaired that meeting was not because somebody said, oh, she's got a great message, we're going to ask her, and they didn't contact me ahead of time and arrange it, right? What happened was I was standing in a group of people, a large group of people with considerable clean time, outside after the main speaker, and this really good-looking guy came up and said, anybody here with more than 5 years clean? And my hand shot up like, ping, I do. Good-looking guy, I do. Me. Next thing I know, he's heading me on up to talk about being lonely in recovery. Yeah, life has changed. I learned. Wisdom is like learning, right? You know, like, so, I learned from that mistake. Ask why first. So, you know, and as time has gone on, this new way of life has changed and changed and changed. And again, at the beginning, it was just I wanted to stop hurting, and I didn't understand that I was going to be given these spiritual principles in a relationship with God and the skills and the tools to raise 3 children on my own, one of which suffers from this disease and mental illness and in and out of jails and institutions. Everything that I didn't get to experience in my disease, I got to experience in his. And it was painful. But what I learned in my basic, came here, right? And they said, you got to save your face, not your ass. Come share. Come tell people where you're at. No matter how much clean time you have or don't have, no matter how cool you think you are or not, come and tell us. Bring us your, you know, problems shared or problems lessened. Pain shared, pain lessened. And so I came to meetings for years crying, because I didn't know how to deal with the pain of what my son was doing. And the pain that it was causing my other children watching it, you know. I got here, and I couldn't have conceived of the things that I was going to have to walk through. But I was given the tools to walk through it in this new way of life. And I was given the people to walk through it with me. Narcotics Anonymous has been at every major event in my life since I've been here, good or bad. when my first husband and the father of my children died unexpectedly in a motorcycle accident, Narcotics Anonymous held me up. Through a pain I didn't really expect to even feel so deeply, and that I didn't know how to deal with. And I talked to other parents who had children that had lost a parent, because I have both my parents. I don't have that experience. So I talked to other people who did have that experience and how they helped their children through it. And I relocated. I was talking to Sunday before the meeting. I relocated when I had 7 years clean, and I was going through my divorce, and I uprooted my children, who were oh so happy with me for it, and moved them 3,000 miles from Arizona to Maryland, and they were super angry and super resentful. And the very first thing I did, because I knew my life depended on it, was I went to a meeting, and I raised my hand, and I said I'm new, and I got to be a newcomer all over again at 7 years clean. And I got a phone book, and I got phone numbers, and I called those women, and I had conversations, deep conversations with women I don't think I ever spoke to again. But God presented what I needed at the time that I needed it, if I was willing to do the work. I was willing to do the work to get high. So the truth is, I need to be willing to do the work to stay clean. And that is the same today. And actually, honestly, for me, my recovery has to be tighter today than it was when I got here. Because I got here, and they say, baby, you know, God looks after babies and fools. I was one of those people who thought when they said some are sicker than others, keep coming back, they were talking about you, not me. I had a lot of clean time before I realized that was me. Like, oh, my bad. But live and learn, right? I learn from my mistakes today. I make new mistakes today. And I catch myself quicker in the old mistakes. You know, when I'm feeling the anger, I'm quicker to dial down to what is it really about so that I can get to the solution. I want to live in the solution today. I want to be the solution. I want to be the light for my children and for the people around me who have the stereotype of the junkie on the street, the alcoholic wino in the gutter. Because, you know, we say the lie is dead, but people still believe that lie. And so I have a very professional job, and I carry myself very professionally there. And I let some people know that I'm an addict in recovery. And I let them know that there is a different way of life. And I've had the opportunity to help some of those people help their family, because they know where to go. But what that does is that I understand the responsibility that I carry with that. Because if I'm going to tell you I'm an addict in this new way of life and I'm happy, joyous, and free and all those things, I better not be cussing out my coworker. I better not be telling my boss to kiss my you-know-what. I better not be stealing from work. I better not be throwing trash out in the parking lot. I got to tell you, I picked up a lot of trash already at this convention. It's making me crazy. There are trash cans. I wanted to apologize to the maid I saw clean it up. I'm like, I'm so sorry for us. So I am so grateful for this new way of life. I want everybody to have it. I know I can't do that. What I can do is I can continue to stay in my lane, do what I do on a daily basis to get better. And then hopefully that attraction rather than promotion will work. And people will say, how are you so happy? Thanks for letting me share. Okay.